Welcome to The Mortgage Life, a space for down-to-earth conversations about how mortgages contribute to your life.
Well, that sounds canned and maybe a little boring.
What? There are so many parts to the mortgage industry and real estate finance we can explore and share with our listeners.
Okay, you're right. You're right, Mindy. Our goal is to help secure our clients' financial future.
I'm Pete Solomosi.
I'm Mindy Bodwin.
And I'm Sue Solomosi. We're your hosts. Welcome to The Mortgage Life. So welcome to today's episode. Today we are talking about interest rates.
So there's a whole bunch of different rates in the mortgage world and in lending and banking. So you've got the rates that you might get on investments or savings accounts, but we're specifically talking about borrowing rates. And even within borrowing rates, there's stuff that may not apply to mortgages. So we're going to focus exactly in on anything that applies to mortgage or mortgage-related borrowing.
I find that with the mortgage or lending environment, the one component that seems to fire people up the most is their interest rate. And it's also the component that people seem to have the most opinions about.
Totally.
It's interesting because when the topic of interest rates come up with me, I'm more of the mindset that the rates are what they are when they are. The time is always now to move forward on whatever it is that you're pursuing. And so I tend to lean more towards the product side versus the interest rate side. So this will be a really great conversation to maybe educate me a little bit.
Well, and I think that's a really valid point. It's almost like on the investing side, talking about trying to time the market. You can't time the market on the investing side, nor can you time the market on the borrowing side.
That's a really good point. I know my financial advisor always says, it's not about timing the market, it's about time in the market.
Right.
Ooh, Mindy, that's sexy. I like that.
We're going to make that part of the mortgage side too.
Time it is. It's a valid point. So.
All right. So
where do you want to start?
So there's often talk about two different sides of the mortgage market in terms of interest rates. One side is the fixed side, but we're actually going to start on the variable side. And the reason we're going to start with that is it's a bit more complex. So it also seems to kind of hit the media a little bit more. So we're going to talk first about where the variable rate mortgage rates come from, which is the Bank of Canada. So you might have heard the term overnight rate, or you might have heard the term policy interest rate. Those are interchangeable. And essentially, the Bank of Canada has this overnight rate or their policy interest rate. And in their own words, I'm going to quote from their website, this is the starting point for setting many of the interest rates in the economy that matter for Canadians. So what the heck? What is that?
It's very soft and kind. And
it's very kind. But it is something that does affect a lot of things within the Canadian lending marketplace. So this is typically the rate that banks will borrow their money from the Bank of Canada. So when they're getting their money for things like variable rate mortgages, adjustable rate mortgages, this is exactly where they're getting it.
So how does that relate then to the prime interest rate? Because that's what the variable rate is based on, is that prime lending rate. So what is that difference?
Right. So that gap is essentially the various lenders will have their kind of cost of borrowing. So they need to make a little bit of a profit, or if
that's
you look
how they make money. That's is what you're saying. Money. That's how
that's
they make
their
money.
Profit margin. Yeah. And so they're figuring in their costs. So whether that's employees, their buildings, all the costs that they might have, they're looking at that and saying, we want that. Those are our costs covered plus our profit. And that's our operating expense. So
interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to back it up a bit and just take it kind of more to a macro policy here. So why does the Bank of Canada
that's
meddle?
A big word. It's a with, big word, Mindy. Sorry.
My big word, macroeconomics. Why does the Bank of Canada meddle with interest rates? So yes, everybody, take a breath. Sue, this is maybe a little bit dry, but it's very interesting. It comes down to monetary policy. So this is essentially how a central bank in Canada, the Bank of Canada, controls the money supply of that nation. So you guys have been reading the recent news reports. Everybody knows inflation is high. These are hot topics. So when unemployment is high and growth is low, the Bank of Canada wants more money in the system. So they target lower rates. Or when the economy is growing at too rapid of a pace and inflation is high, they want to pull money out of the system. So they start increasing the overnight or their policy rates. So increasing the cost of borrowed money, the demand for borrowed money decreases, so does the money supply, et cetera, et cetera.
So if we want to use an analogy, the Bank of Canada is like the driver of a car, and they're either putting their foot on the gas to help accelerate the economy, which is the car, or they're hitting the brakes, which is slowing the car down. Is that right?
Exactly.
Cool. I'm so confused.
Just smile and nod.
That's what I'm doing. Our listeners can't see me smiling and nodding.
So we know that the Bank of Canada is going to either hit the gas or hit the brakes or just let the car coast. But one of the big questions that a lot of people have is how often that this movement happens. And the good news is that the Bank of Canada only has 8 fixed dates of their changes. So what that means is that they've got 8 dates that they announce at the beginning of the year. Yes, at the beginning of the year. So per calendar year that they will actually either choose to increase the rate, leave it the same, or decrease the rate. So it doesn't change all the time. When we think about this overnight rate, it's not that that's changing rapidly all the time. There's only 8 times a year that it can change. Or there is an exception to very, very outstanding circumstances like the pandemic, where they actually changed the policy rate twice. Actually, it was 3 times within a matter of 4 weeks.
That was crazy.
Yeah, that was definitely an outlier. But that's a good point to make, Pete, because I have had clients ask when discussing a variable rate mortgage if their interest rate changes monthly or weekly. So it's not that frequent unless insert pandemic.
Just a side note, on the rate announcement dates throughout this year, we will be publishing emergency podcasts just to keep you guys updated on where those rates are going.
Right. So we talked a little bit about the overnight rate, talked about the monetary policy and where that all comes from. So let's chat a little bit about the various lenders and their prime rate. Mindy, tell us a little bit about where that prime rate is and what it does.
Yeah, so Sue kind of touched on this a little bit earlier, but you kind of hear this overall prime rate, but actually each lender in Canada sets their own prime lending rate, although we do find that the majority are all the same. So this is the mortgage lender's rate that's tied to the overnight rate. For example, overnight rate goes up by 0.5%, then lender's prime typically will go up by the same amount, 0.5%.
So then from there, it's going to impact your mortgage payment, how much you pay monthly on your mortgage.
Right.
Right. On a variable rate or an adjustable rate mortgage, depending on how your lender calculates your payment month over month. On an adjustable rate mortgage, the payment will vary to match the prime rate. On a variable rate mortgage, most of them will try to maintain a more steady payment.
Right. Yeah. So on a variable rate mortgage, if the interest rate goes up, so that prime rate moves around, your payment stays the same. There's only one scenario where your payment would actually start to increase, and that's at what they call a trigger rate. So there's a rate at which your payment no longer is part principal, so you're paying your mortgage down, and part interest. At the point at which your payment becomes all interest, the payment will have to increase so that it's not all interest. It'll have to be part interest, part principal.
Well, that makes sense because mortgages are amortized. So you do have to pay off a component of your principal in each of your mortgage payments.
Right.
So generally speaking, we use variable rate mortgage, adjustable rate mortgage kind of interchangeably. How your payment will adjust throughout the course of your mortgage will be in the fine print on your mortgage details.
Exactly. Yep. There's subtle differences. Yeah.
And these variable rates also for home equity line of credit, the HELOC, that was our most recent episode we just released.
I always want to say link in description. But our last episode, well, I guess it was episode 9, was the HELOCs. So have a listen.
Was it 9 or 12? I don't 9. Even know.
Yes.
I don't think I put a link in the description.
I just always want to say link in description. But if you just go back or check out themortgagelife.ca. All right. So we talked a lot about the variable rates and the rates that can move around. Now, how about fixed rates? So we've got the variable rates that we've kind of hashed out. Why am I talking about this again? Fixed rates.
Thanks, Pete.
Repeat things 17 times.
Fixed rate is fixed.
So, side note, Pete likes to explain things 12 times in 12 different ways. But when it comes to interest rates, it's important that we do have those various explanations, because sometimes one way will make sense and another way won't make sense. So variable rates and fixed rates do not depend on each other necessarily. They exist in two very different pockets of money.
Yes. And actually, Pete had some insight about, well, diving a little bit deeper there.
Mm-hmm.
Want to talk about the bond market?
Yes. So we won't delve too deep into it, but suffice to say that, you know, for instance, if we're going to talk about five-year fixed rates, your five-year fixed rate today might be one rate, and tomorrow it might be a little bit different rate. And that's because the money that the banks use to lend on those five-year fixed rates are based on the five-year bond market. The good news on the fixed rate side, and the part that should give you some peace of mind, is if you have a fixed rate mortgage and the market is moving around. So for instance, if you got a fixed rate mortgage a year and a half ago and your rate was below 2%, you've got nothing to worry about, because your fixed rate will remain that rate for the entire term.
Meaning your payments will remain the same for the entire term.
Exactly.
Should we break up this incredibly interesting interest episode with a song, or?
we possibly could. All of us are thinking of different songs.
Yeah, I guess we can't really dance.
Let's talk about interest rates. Anyways,
yeah, I mean, it's another rate that I just want to throw in here, because this is another, especially in Canada, is the stress test rate. So we've talked about fixed, we've talked about variable, we've talked about where these rates come from. Those are your contract rates. So that when you're signing your mortgage documents, you look on the piece of paper and you say, oh, cool, I scored myself a rate of 3.29% for 5 years. Done. But when we're looking at how much of a mortgage you qualify for, we're actually having to use a much higher rate, a stress test rate, or 2% higher than your contract rate. That is not the rate that your mortgage payments are calculated on. That's just a protective measure that the Bank of Canada has put in, or the government of Canada, to ensure that when rates do go up, people will still qualify for their mortgage.
Yeah.
Right. So again, it's just a measure of safety that the government has implemented to make sure that if the rates do go higher, so either at 5.25 or 2% above what rate you got, that you'd be able to afford that within your current income scenario.
Can we stop for a second and talk about in this point, how difficult it's become for first-time homebuyers? Qualifying is a lot more stringent. It's a lot more difficult because we have to make sure you can make those higher payments. So we have a lot of open, honest conversations with our clients about what housing affordability really looks like.
Right. And that's probably a good topic to chat about in the future. First-time homebuyers, the various opportunities that can be utilized, programs, and co-borrowers, down payment sources, etc. Stay tuned for some more interesting topics.
Thanks for listening. This is The Mortgage Life.
We look forward to continuing the conversation.
So come back and listen.